Cuore.
As we're coming to that, in a sense, grand finale of the year, as we look forward towards the Yom HaRoim, towards the Shoshana Mitzvah. Of course, we're about to embark upon the days of Slichos, but though we just take the opportunity to speak a little bit al pi halacha and al pi minhagim, just some of the more common shailas that come up, particularly at this time of the year. Some of the shailas we've spoken about a little bit in the past, some of the shailas are perhaps new shailas. But again, just to familiarize ourselves a little bit with the halachas that are coming up, particularly this coming week in Mitzvah Shem, getting into Shabbos, with the days of Slichos upon us. So just the very notion of saying Slichos itself is hard to categorize it as a halacha. It doesn't appear in the Gemara per se, the notion of saying Slichos. And in fact, when one looks in the Rambam, so the way the Rambam presents the minhag Yisrael of saying Slichos, but the Rambam presents it a little bit different than the minhag that we're familiar with. The Rambam describes the custom of saying Slichos as limited towards the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva as almost part of a general nihugim of Aseret Yemei Tshuva. The Rambam highlights the fact that we try to be in our best behavior during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, because after all, we're supposed to view ourselves as being Beinonim. The Gemara says, Masechet Rosh Hashanah Tluim Va'omdim, that Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the Yom HaDin, and for the Tzadikim Gemurim, so that's all there is. There really is no need for Aseret Yemei Tshuva for the Tzadikim Gemurim. The Nechtavim, the Nechtamim, they are written and sealed. The Altar L'Chaim Tovim. For the Rishon Gemurim, Aseret Yemei Tshuva is not going to help much because they already have a Gzar Din, already there's Chasiva and Chasiva L'Ra on Rosh Hashanah. But for the rest of the world, which the Rambam says basically means all of us, the rest of the world, so we treat ourselves as somewhere in the middle. And as the Rambam highlights in Hilchos Tshuva, somewhere in the middle is not an exact computation. That it's a one mitzvah versus one avera, but rather some mitzvahs are worth a lot more than others. Certain averas, of course, count to balance that significantly more than others. So we all view ourselves somewhere in that spectrum, that greater spectrum of being beinonim. And therefore, the Rambam right is so critical, so important during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva to try to get the balance tilted a little bit. And therefore, we have a custom to go above and beyond the call of duty to act in ways during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva better on a higher level than we do the rest of the year, because we're trying so hard to put ourselves toward the close to the Sifrei HaChaim. And therefore the Rambam writes, therefore the Minhag Yisrael is to give a lot of tzedakah during the days of Aseret Yemei Tshuva, to do extra mitzvahs during Aseret Yemei Tshuva. This is part of the reason why the Shulchan Aruch quotes the custom, certain chumras during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, certain midas chasidus, certain hidurim, that perhaps we're not as careful with during the rest of the year. One of the most famous ones being the Nanhog of Pas Yisrael, even people who are somewhat lenient on eating bread that was baked by non-Jews, obviously kosher ingredient bread, but just the mere fact that it was baked by non-Jews is a halachic issue. And even though we're accustomed to be pretty lenient about this the rest of the year, saying some tshuva, we're machmer in this as well. So we have many, many, many things that we do, many behaviors that we try to change on Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Not that we're being inconsistent, not that we're trying to almost like trick ourselves, but rather as a way of showing that we're really, really trying to be a little bit higher standards. So in that general picture of living up to higher standards, the Rambam puts in this idea of that Nagu Kol Yisrael Lokom B'yam Neilu, people get up early in the morning, Meshmeres HaBoker, get up early, early before davening, and to be Ma'abib Tfilas, to have extra Tfilas and extra Tachanunim, Achiyor Hayoyim, until it gets light, says the Rambam. So the Rambam's presentation of the Minhag of Slichos is very Aseret Yemei Tshuva oriented. It's very much in sync with other kinds of Hanhagos Tovos that we do above and beyond the call of duty. The same way, hopefully we learn a little bit more, the same way, more tzedakah, more chesed, so we daven a little bit more. How much more can you daven? We daven three tefillos a day every day, so what else can we daven? So we daven more tchinas and more b'chashas and more slichas, and that's the notion of the slichas during Aseret Yemei Tshuva. The Rambam does not mention in that context the minute that we have of beginning the days of slichas, even way before Aseret Yemei Tshuva. We have a custom, both Ashkenazi and Sephardi communities have this custom, albeit they have a different numbers of days. The Sfarim have already long been saying Slichos back since Rosh Chodesh Elo. The Ashkenazim begin just a few short days before Rosh Hashanah. So this minhag seems to be a little bit of a different custom, a little bit of a different, rather than the focus being on to get ourselves, out of the status of Beinonim into the status of Tzadikim Gemurim. Rather, it's more in the sense of more of a hachana for Rosh Hashanah. It's more of a preparation for Rosh Hashanah. That we can't even begin to approach Rosh Hashanah without having certain achanas, certain preparations. And that's what we find the Maharik Chazal about this, how there are different degrees of preparation for Rosh Hashanah. You don't just go into Yom HaDin just like that. is a certain achanas that begin with the Eved Mishchash Elul, certain achanas of Erev Rosh Hashanah per se. That's why the Rishonim quite accustomed, many have even today of fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah, or at least half day of fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah. And that's also quoted as a hachana for Rosh Hashanah itself, to put us into the proper state of tshuva for Rosh Hashanah. So that's where this minute comes from, of reciting Selichos, even before the Yemei Aviv, even before Hashanah even begin. The bottom line is this minhag exists in our communities, and of course we follow this minhag. And one of the major questions that is discussed in the poskim about this custom of slichos is, when is the optimal time to say the slichos? So when the Rambam quotes his version of the minhag of saying slichos, it's very clear from the Rambam that the slichos are supposed to be recited before davening at Shir Hayoyim. They're recited before it actually gets light. It's supposed to be recited basically in the nighttime. The Sifrei Kabbalah are very strong about this idea that the slichos and davka are supposed to be recited not just in the nighttime, but in the second half of the nighttime. It's supposed to be recited in the second half of the night. The night is divided in the Sifrei Kabbalah between the first half of the night being a zman of din and the second half being a time of rachamim. And therefore, all tefillos which relate to rachamim are recited in the second half of the night. That's why many people have the custom of saying tikkun chatzos. And we have the custom of saying slichos, so it should always be geared towards the second half of the night. What exactly does that mean? When does that second half of the night end technically? So we know that the nighttime is a little bit of a tricky time because it ends for different things at different times. For pure dinim diaraisa, so the end of the night is alos hashachar. Once the dawn, once the earliest rays of light can be seen already in the east, so that's already considered to be alos hashachar. And that's the technical beginning of halachic day. It's the end of halachic night, beginning of halachic day, to such an extent that min haTorah, one can even blow shofar at that time, one can even shake a lulav, one can even say halal at that time, because technically speaking, the day has begun. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Megillah, in the second parak, that midirabbanan lechetchila, you should wait to do the mitzvah sayom until the sun rises. That's for pure technical reasons, says Rashi, because we're afraid that you may get it too early. It's hard to tell whether it's alos hashachar or not. So if we tell everybody to blow shofar at 4 in the morning, so you may end up doing it before the zman actually begins. So therefore, the rabbanim they instituted to wait it out until neitzacham, wait it out until sunrise. But technically, the haTorah, once it's alos hashachar, the night's over. The night's over. The day has actually begun. Nevertheless, it could be for these purposes, customs of saying slichos, the idea of yemei rachmim, of zman of rachmim, zman of din, things of that nature. So many posts can have a different calculation. Many posts can say that the night actually continues a little bit. It continues even until Netzachama. There are other areas of halacha where sunrise plays a critical role. Even let's say vis-a-vis the halachas of Kriyashma, technically one can still be ever be to Kriyashma Shal Arvis, even after Halacha Shachar, it's still as Ban Shchiva. There are certain halachas of Vilchas Nida in terms of Vilchas Vestas, calculating Vestas that depend on sunrise. So there are halachas that are based on sunrise. And according to many poskim, this idea of Zman Rachman versus Zman Din, they also go that little extra time into the time of Netzachama. This shita, although it's definitely not agreed upon by everybody, would of course be very, very helpful for us, because this would enable many of us to recite slichos at an optimal time in halacha. Many people don't like to get up so early in the morning, so many people go to the daven at 8:30 minyan, and they're starting slichos on a weekday at 8:10 or something. 8:10 is well after a sunrise, so that would not be the optimal time to recite slichos. If a person is davening in an earlier minyan and they're timing that the slichos are recited before Netzachah, before sunrise, that would definitely be a hinder. That would be definitely something which is more acceptable. If a person can't do that, or a person for whatever reason can't arrange the schedule that way, so then they can, quote unquote, but the Yevet taught to use the word bin yotzei slichos. It's not a mitzvah bin yotzei slichos. But the slichos can still be recited even after sunrise. But lechetchila, if one can plan it, so it would be appropriate to do so. What about reciting slichos earlier in the night? So many people find it much easier to recite slichos much, much earlier. You might recite slichos now. It's 9:30 at night. You can recite it tomorrow morning slichos if it was the Yemei slichos already. So would that be acceptable or not? So here the poskim have two concerns with the recitation of slichos at the early, a little bit too early in the night. So one is that the Ikar Zman of Slichos is supposed to be a time of Rachamim. And as we said, that again, we don't understand all these things, but in the Sefer Kabbalah, you speak about the first half of the night being a Zman of Din. And therefore, the poskim shy away from the recitation of Slichos before halfway through the night, before the time of Chatzos HaLaila. Chatzos HaLaila is close to 1 o'clock. So if a person doesn't want to get up early and say it early, you have to stay up pretty late to say it late. Then there's an added concern when reciting Slichos early, particularly in the first night of Slichos, because the first night of Slichos is obviously the Motzei Shabbos. That's the Ashkenazi custom, is we always begin Slichos on the Motzei Shabbos. So if you're going to recite Slichos before Chatzos and Motzei Shabbos, that raises another potential issue that we know that in Halacha, until Chatzos and Motzei Shabbos, it's still considered to be a little bit somehow like an extension of Shabbos. Not really. I mean, the Torah once says, once the stars came out, Shabbos is over. But somehow, some of the hashpa, some of the influence, some of the holiness of Shabbos, this is actually reflected by the fact that Gemara tells us that Shabbos, that one is supposed to eat a Sudas Malava Malka. Rambam writes that eating Malava Malka is part of the mitzvah of covered Shabbos, that he's supposed to escort the Shabbos as it leaves. So what time is considered to be a proper escorting of the Shabbos? So many people can say that if you have Malava Malka before Chatzos, that's called Bibichabbos the Shabbos properly. Having the malk already at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's already too late. It's already, you know, the Shabbos is already long left. The guest is already here for to the next destination already. It's too late to be mechabit the Shabbos. It's too late to escort the Shabbos with the proper love malka. So many people are not, but to try to have a love malka, to be careful to have it before chatzos. That's what some posts can raise a question, that if the time until chatzos and until Shabbos is still shy a little bit to Shabbos, is that really the right time to begin the days of Tefillah? Is that the right time to be clapping up chait? Is that the right time to be doing and saying those Tefillahs that we don't usually associate with very Shabbos-tikka types of Tefillahs? Or maybe it would be better for a person to wait until after Chatzos. So those are the two concerns that Poskim have with jump-starting the Tefillahs a little bit before Chatzos. One is the general concern the whole week is that it doesn't size up properly, it doesn't line up properly with this Zman of Rachamim. And number two, the added component of Motzei Shabbos. Rabbi Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that there are some shuls who don't have a choice, some shuls who don't have an option, that they have a crowd of people, very often an elderly crowd, and just, they're not going to come, no one's going to come at 1 o'clock in the morning to sleep us. So the truth is that it would be better probably in the no circumstance they sleep us the next morning, but a lot of people aren't going to come, people aren't going to come to no sleep us either. So lays brayer, as Moshe writes, each rabbi has to decide on their own. If there's no choice, no one's going to come, so then it's better than nothing. Then it would be better to say sleep us even before the optimal time of the recitation of sleep us. So this is something that every rabbi and every shul has to try to make a call about, knowing the dynamics of that the community. This year, of course, we have a little bit of an added wrinkle to the calculation in terms of when the right time to sleepless is. Even many people who would like to say sleepless at the proper time, say after 1 o'clock in the morning, many of the sleepless minyan are still davening outside. Many of the regular minyan are still davening outside. To have a sleepless minyan outside depends where you are. So if you're in a private backyard that there's no neighbors around for miles, that's great. You can scream at Hashem Hashem Karach Lecha on top of your lungs. But most of us don't have that luxury. And therefore, you know, we take obviously Chil Hashem to the greatest extent, the greatest care possible. And just even putting aside Chil Hashem, stop it on the Chaveiro, even with that Bamash Chil Hashem, to wake up from people. Not everyone's little kids want to be woken up by a beautiful chanting of the chazan. So one has to use common sense and care and consideration for one's neighbors, particularly, of course, this year. So if one can't recite tzlichos at the right time, so then you have to decide when's the next best time. So probably the next best time is the next morning. So it's probably better to recite tzlichos in the morning than early in Motzei Shabbos. So again, I'm not from my position to paskin for different shuls. Each rav has to make their own decision when is the right time. But again, on the putting aside some of the complications, the optimal time clearly would be sometime between Chatzos and the end of the night, either the end of the night being Alos HaShach according to some, or Netzachama according to others. There is a whole other issue in terms of reciting Slichos. And sometimes you have a situation that arises that a person can say Slichos at the right time, but not be Tzibur. He wants to say, can he say Slichos B'Yechidus? Or there are some people who are going to have to say Slichos B'Yechidus. Unfortunately, even everyone who's trying very, very hard to daven in a minyan, so there's some people who may still not be able to, for health reasons, daven in a minyan. We we're hearing of some people who are in quarantines already, so people who won't be able to daven in a minyan for slichas, halavai, I wish we had a quarantine by the Yom Narayim. So now you have a situation, what am I supposed to do? I can't daven in a minyan, so when should I say slichas, or can I say slichas, or how do I say slichas? So the poskim point out that you can say slichas not with Rebbeinu Shlomo Yom Yechidus, but there are some parts of the slichas that should be deleted. So the two parts of the slichas that are left out, the Yechidus, one is the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim, Hashem Hashem Rach B'Chanun, which is in a certain sense the most important part. It's the central portion of the slichas. But that phrase is only recited in a tzibur. unless the pasuk can say if you say a derech kriya v'yalma. If you're not saying it as the yud gimel midas, you're saying it as your chazun, your leaning, your catching up being mavis yad rabashim kisisa. So you learn the psukim of Hashem Hashem karach v'chanan. So if you read it with the trap, you say it like you're leaning in the Torah, then one could argue that can be done even via chidus. Then for other technical reasons, based on another Mamar Chazal, we delete the parts that are in Aramaic, the last parts of the slichas. So the Aramaic parts are generally left out. But one should, that should really be an absolute last resort. And in doing so, you have to, a little bit of the slichas. Some of the common shilas that come up, just in terms of within the saying the slichas themselves, so there is a famous shilah that comes up. In the morning, person comes to shul, says saying slichas before davening. They walk at the shul, 5:30 in the morning, kedas chadim, lechadchilas v'lechadchila, they're saying the slichas. And then they realize, or maybe rightfully so, they haven't said birchas haTorah yet. So that's a big question. Is that acceptable? Can one recite the slichas before having said a birchas haTorah? What's the question? Under normal circumstances, one is not allowed to learn Torah in any shape or form before reciting birchas haTorah. The Gemara Maseches Brachos in the third parak derives from a pasuk in next week, not next week, as Rosh Hashanah, but the next Chris Torah that we have in the Shabbos, Parshas Hazinu, the psukim ki shema shemekra v'gadol elokeinu, that we derive from here that before Moshe Rabbeinu said the words of the Divrei Torah, he first praised the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And here we derive a din, that before you begin to learn Chumash, before you begin to open Mishnayos, before you come to Shiva, before you learn Daf Yomi, you're supposed to recite Birchas HaTorah. That's a big machlek. As we've shown him, is that a din min HaTorah? Is that a din min HaRabbanan? So the Rambam writes that's only a din min HaRabbanan. The Rabban holds that Birchas HaTorah is a requirement min HaTorah. It's somewhat unclear how we pass it on the shaila. Would be a difference, a practical difference, if it would be a suffix. The person doesn't know whether there is that Birchas HaTorah or not. The Mishabura quotes from many Pelskim that we have to err on the side of caution and apply the rule of suffix deraisa l'chumra, and therefore we would insist on reciting Birchas HaTorah a second time around. The general rule is that whenever you have a mitzvah deraisa or a bracha deraisa, the suffix you have to repeat it. Whenever you have a bracha midirabanan, then suffix brachas l'hakil. The Birchas HaTorah is a tricky one. It's a shaila whether it's a deraisa or not. The Mishabura quotes a compromise view that if you have a suffix whether you say Birchas HaTorah, you should say it again, but only one of the brachas. Usually when we recite Birchas HaTorah, we say a whole array of brachas. We start with Asher Kedishon, Aharav, no, and then we conclude with Asher Bacha Baruch Al Amin. Technically speaking, Min HaTorah, only one is necessary. Therefore, the Mishabur says, if anyway you yanks Min HaTorah with one, why should you take a chance? Why should you risk three brachas of Batalas? Just say once. The Mishabur recommends, if you have a Sofya, Birchas HaTorah, repeat one, repeat the bracha only of Asher Bacha Arbanu. But the bottom line is whether they're Isa, whether they're Rabbanon, Lamaisi, you're not supposed to be learning without reciting a bracha. So now the question becomes, when I'm reciting the slifos, is that called learning or not? Well, I'm not actually opening up a safer learning. On the other hand, I'm saying psukim. The slifos is made up of a certain piyutim and certain psukim. I say the yud gimel midas rachamim. I say shemeinu shemrachman ashuva. I say a lot of psukim, spread out throughout the slifos. There are many psukim from Tanakh. So is that the equivalent of learning before reciting Birchas HaTorah now? So some Rishonim said yes. Some Rishonim said they're chinami. They're not allowed to recite the slichos until you recite the Birchas HaTorah. And other Rishonim disagree. What was the svar of those Rishonim disagree? So other Rishonim said that the mere reciting psukim, not the Torah's limud, but for other reasons, is not really called limud HaTorah. That's called davening. It's not called learning. But Medrash Mamurim, when do we say that you have to recite a Birchas HaTorah? That's when you're learning Torah. So if I open up Parshas Kisisa and learn the Chumash and Rashis and Rambans and say Taich and Drashas and Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim, I would be required to recite a Birchas HaTorah before. But if I'm not doing that, I'm just simply rattling up the Pesukim, I'm just simply saying that B'Torah is Tefillah, not B'Torah is Limud, so that doesn't technically qualify as a Limud HaTorah, and such a quote-unquote recitation of quasi-Tefillahs would not warrant a Birchas HaTorah. That's a Shad. Ramah quotes two opinions about this. This is a suffix that the Beis Yosef raises also in Siman Mem Zayin Erechem and Birchas HaTorah. Beis Yosef discusses the following question. The Gemara says in Brachas that if a person didn't say Birchas HaTorah in the morning, they could technically be Yaitzeh Birchas HaTorah with Ava Rabba. The Brach of Ava Rabba, it basically has all the themes of Birchas HaTorah. The same with the Habil Haskel, Lishmol, Limud, Lamed, and Rill. Basically, it's a long, long version of Bichsa Torah. The Gemara Bracha says that if you didn't say Bichsa Torah in the morning, you could be Yaitse with Abba Rabba. So the Rishalmi says that the only way you can be Yaitse with Abba Rabba is if you learn immediately after Abba Rabba. So if you just say Abba Rabba and you don't learn, then you're not Yaitse. So the Beis Yosef raises a question, what do you mean you learned afterwards? You always learn afterwards. You say Shema afterwards. By definition, you said Bichsa Krishma. You said Shema Yisrael. Why is that less than learning Torah? That's a question that the Beis Yosef raises. So the Beis Yosef quotes two possible answers to this question. So one answer, the Beis Yosef says that if you said the Shema afterwards, then there's no need to learn afterwards. Yerushalmi is just talking about every once in a while, like I didn't say Shema afterwards. Sometimes the guy said the Shema before, he didn't say the Brachas later. Whatever, how come I said no Kimta, but he didn't say the Shema. But if you did say the Shema, then you're good to go. Then the Beis Yosef quotes the second there, it's no. Even if you did say the Shema, it doesn't count, it doesn't register. Because the saying of the Shema, you're not learning Shema. If your Mabra said the Parshas Veschan, that's called learning the Kriya Shema. If you're just simply davening up the words of Kriya Shema, that's not called learning, that's called davening. Davening l'chud and learning l'chud. And therefore, that Limud HaTorah wouldn't qualify as a Bichsa Torah, Limud HaTorah. And therefore, Tzarech Lomol, you have to learn, you have to pull out your Daf Gemara, you have to learn that, bring another post of Chumash in order to register, in order to count. So this is a running question when we deal with the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. If I'm doing things that are technically limud under different contexts and different circumstances could qualify as limud, but I'm clearly not doing it as limud, is that called Limud HaTorah altogether? So the Moshul is a Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Megillah, where the Gemara says that Mevatlin Tamatar Bekriyas Megillah. The person is in the middle of learning, so he closes his Gemara and he goes, he has Kriyas Megillah in Purim. All the Echorana Baal and the Kash, what do you mean Mevatlin Tamatar Bekriyas Megillah? Kriyas Megillah is also learning. Kriyas Megillah is Megillah's Esther. It's Kisvi HaKodesh. If I would sit down and learn for an hour, the Pesuchim of Megillah's Esther, I wouldn't get a Schat Tam Torah. Of course I would. I wouldn't have to recite Birch the Torah. Of course I would. So why does the Gemara say Mevatlin Tam Torah? We play Kriyas Megillah. So one of the Echorim, some of the Echorim suggest that the answer is as follows, that if you would sit and learn Megillah's Esther, that would in fact be a Mitzvah Tam Torah. That's not what you're doing. When you're coming to Shul for Purim and you're listening to the story, even if you're paying attention to the story, you're not learning the Megillah. You're doing Kriyas Megillah. So Kriyas Megillah L'chud and Limud HaTorah L'chud. The two are not really the same. So this idea now plays out in terms of slichas. What should our practice be? Should a person be mekil and just say the entire slichas, then you'll catch a Birch HaTorah afterwards? Or should a person try to say Birch HaTorah before it? It would appeal if it is diet, unless one has an absolute minute to the contrary. Some communities have a minute to the contrary. But if one doesn't have an absolute minute to the contrary, what do you have to lose? You might as well say Birch HaTorah before. But that way you'll be covered on all bases. So again, the fear is tight. If you have nothing else to the contrary, so lamalo, why should you get involved in the shaila? It's worthwhile just to say the brachos there before, and then you can say slichas. And then you have to slichas just adopting it. Or if you adopting, you go learn whatever you say that yom is going to be. It's all going to be covered by that original brachos Torah. One of the other very, very common shailas that comes up about slichas, that's the wearing of a talis during slichas. So there is an age-old custom that the Shlich Tzibur puts on a talis for slichas. General custom, many places, the Shlich Tzibur puts on a talis for everything. So there are different minhagim about that. Some places, the Shlich Tzibur puts on a talis for Ma'ariv also, some places only for Mincha. But when it comes to slichas, there's almost like a universal custom that the Shlich Tzibur puts on a talis. And the reason for this most probably is because the source of the Shlich Tzibur putting on a talis in the first place happens to have its roots in slichas. Because the Gemara says, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught to Moshe Rabbeinu when Yanach HaKarei's Bris, when he taught him the Yungim Amidah Sarachmim, when he recited those Pesuch Moshe Roshom Karach B'chanun, the Gemara says that Malamei Shedizach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishlech Tzibur. That's as if everything is Kaviyochel, obviously the Baruch Hashem is not a physical being, doesn't wear physical talus, but it had that imagery, and whatever that obviously deep, mysterious imagery means, Malamei Shedizach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishlech Tzibur. It's like as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu dressed up, so to speak, like a Kishlech Tzibur, like a Chazin, and he was Mis'atef. So what does the word mis'atef mean? So we use the word mis'atef, but a talis, mis'atef, but tzitzis. So there's a big machlekes rishonim, just what the taich, what the word mis'atef means. So there are some rishonim who say mis'atef means to cover your head. The Gemara calls it tifas yishme'elim, your mamish cover your head with something. And whenever the halacha requires itof, it requires to cover your head. That's what there's one opinion in rishonim that says, that if you're wearing a four-cornered beged, and it's not covering your head, you're not yet tzitzis. It's according to one opinion in rishonim, we walk around all day in a talis katan, that's meaningless. It's not over our heads. And we don't pass like that. We pass like the other view, like Rav Rishonim, Shem Rav pass, doesn't even quote this view. We pass like Rav Rishonim, that the Lashon Ituf doesn't mean literally a tipas ha'rosh. Ituf means to wrap around. It could be wrapping around your head, be wrapping around your body. So when we say that lesati betzitzis, it doesn't really mean to put it over your head. It means to wrap it around your body. That's also good enough. In deference to the first view, because there was some Rishonim who say that the Lashon Lesatev means specifically to wrap around your head, therefore there's a minhag that b'shas ha'baracha, we do a tifa. When you're putting on your talis, so you put it over your head, even those people who don't daven with a talis over their head the whole davening, but for the first couple of seconds of davening, right after the bracha, everybody throws the talis over their head. That's the status quo, that view in Rishonim, that you need some kind of an itof, and I'm not b'shas. But being a mikra, then we pass that this atif doesn't even really mean the head. It really means atifa. Atif of Kadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? It means the imagery is of Kadosh Baruch Hu with a talus over his head, the imagery of Kadosh Baruch Hu with a talus around his body. So depending on whatever you think the wordless atif means. But no matter how you slice it, everybody agrees that there is such an imagery of a shliach tzibur wearing that extra covering, that extra kind of an atifa. So therefore, it is appropriate that the chazan should wear a talus when he recites the Yudyomis, even though it's at night and saying slips at a time when it's not really as manatitis, but as a demonstration of Lesatev, so that would be appropriate. And now the question becomes, if the Shalech Tzibur is putting on a talis, so should he recite a bracha on the talis or not recite a bracha on the talis? This is more of a chasitza shayla than it is of a slicha shayla, but it impacts during the days of slichos. So we know the Gemara tells us, based on the Pasuk Risim also by Tzitzis, that Laila is Lazman Tzitzis. The nighttime is not the time for the mitzvah of Tzitzis. That is Man Ra'iya. So there was a Machlekes of Yishayin between the Rambam and the Rush. What do those words mean? The Rambam took the Gemara at face value. The literal interpretation of the Gemara is that there's no mitzvah of Tzitzis at night. Tzitzis is a mitzvah reserved only for the daytime. And therefore, if you happen to be putting on a prayer at Tzitzis 10 o'clock at night, there's absolutely, you gain nothing. According to the Rambam, we could have taken off at tzitzis 2-3 hours ago. You gain absolutely nothing by walking around in tzitzis for the duration of the night. And the Rush disagrees. The Rush says that when Chazal say that you don't wear tzitzis at night, the Gemara doesn't say night. The Gemara says ksus laila. The Gemara says a garment that's a nightly garment, a nighttime kind of a garment, is not subject to tzitzis. So according to the Rush, if you have a four-cornered pair of pajamas, that beged is mufka. That beged doesn't have to have tzitzis worn on it. In contrast, says the Rush, if you have a day type of garment, that garment must have tzitzis, even if worn at night. So according to the Rush, it doesn't make a difference whether the sun is shining or not. What matters is it a beged ha-miyuchad liyom or beged ha-miyuchad l'layla? According to the Rambam, it all depends on the time of day or night. How do we pass in the law? Because on Shulchan Aruch, we pass like the chumras of both opinions. Namely, if a person is wearing a beged, either a day garment at night or a night garment in the daytime, either one, so we're nervous. We're not so sure that it's patron tzitzis. So we're going to tell you to put tzitzis on. But we will not let you recite a bracha unless both conditions are met. It has to be a day garment in the daytime. So if you're wearing a four-cornered garment, we wear a talis katan in the daytime, you put it on 8 o'clock in the morning, that's called a beged ha-chayvet. We wear a talis gadol, the davening chakras, that's called a ksus yom bayom, and you can recite a bracha. But if either one of those two conditions are missing, then you cannot recite a bracha. So that's why, depending on when you're going to say slichas. If you're saying slichas at a time, which is a little bit not so lechatchil, you're davening at 8 o'clock minyan, so you're saying slichas at 7:30, so then great, you can put on his own talis and make a bracha. It's already by yom, it's just yom by yom, everything's wonderful. And then after slichas, we'll put his tefillin and we'll start davening. But if you're saying slichas at night, if you're saying slichas at a time, which is the optimal time of slichas, so how are you going to put on this talis? Are you going to make a bracha or not make a bracha? So now you're in a little bit of a pickle. Because according to the Ram, you cannot make a bracha because it's Laila. But according to the Rosh, you're obligated to make a bracha because it's Ksus Yayin. So what do you do? So we have to rule something brachas l'hocha. We're not going to let you make the bracha. But the problem is that l'chadchil, you're not supposed to set up a situation with suffering brachas. Suffering brachas is kind of something that happens after the fact. But l'chadchil, you're supposed to live your life in a way that you do things, either yes mitzvah or no mitzvah. You're not supposed to walk that tightrope and end up with a suffering mitzvah with a suffering bracha. So it probably would not be the best strategy to tell the Shalach Tzibur to put the talis on, because putting on the talis is going to put him into a suffering brachas. So now we're mamash in catch 22. On the one hand, we want to fulfill the minig Yisrael, as the Lashna Gemara, Labshas Adrakash Bracha, and Kitzilach Tzibur. We want him to put on a talis. On the other hand, we don't want him to put on a talis because of a bracha concern. So what's the best eitz in terms of this? There are multiple options that are available. So probably the absolute best eitz is to borrow a talis from somebody else. of your maros, somebody else's talis, so then the Gemara says that it's not called ksuscha. The Gemara derives from a pasuk, al arba kanfas ksuscha shetachasav, l'may ksus shalachayrim. If I don't own, indeed, imamna, so this bag, it doesn't belong to me, so then there's no obligation of tzitzis on this minatar. We just mentioned this in the last night, the Iyun Shiv, the Shul. That minatar, you only chayv in tzitzis if you own the bag. With the Rabbanon, if you borrow a bag for more than 30 days, and people forget that's borrowed, people think it looks like it's yours, then with the Rabbanon, you have to put on tzitzis, like the New York Kishalon. But with the Raisi, you don't have to wear tzitzis b'chlal if it's merely a borrowed bag. Therefore, the best aid to it be is if you borrow a bag from somebody, you borrow somebody's talis, I mean, why not to be zeich on it? Let's say if I come to shul, daven shachris, I forgot my talis, I want to borrow your talis. So then I can, quote unquote, borrow your talis. You're giving me the talis. You give it to me as a gift. So my talis lahach, so whatever the case may be, you're giving it to me as a gift, and I can make a bracha on it. It's not my talis. So I'm not chayv in tzitzis. It's less than 30 days. I'm not even chayv in derabbanan. So I'm not obligated to make a scenario to borrow a talis from somebody else. Sometimes it's not always available, whatever you can find. No one else has a talis around. So you want to grab one of the shul talises. So grabbing a shul talis is a whole loaded question because it could be that you own the shul talis. Why do you own the shul talis? The Gemara says in Chulin that a beggar shall shutfis is chayev in tzitzis. So it could be that a shul talis is a beggar shutfin. It's owned in partnership. Whoever pays membership in the shul. So everybody owns a shtickle of everything. Let's say a shul buys different items. A shul buys svarim. A shul buys, I don't know, they buy food for kiddush. They buy chumashim. They buy talis. So all the members, all the members who pay their dues, so they are acquiring a share in all of these partnership owned items. So then this talis is my talis. So I'm a shtickle shutaf in this talis. So I'm a shutaf in this talis. So then it's. How can I not make a bracha? On the other hand, how can I make a bracha if it's still the nighttime? Unless one argues that almost they have in mind they don't want to be zeicha on this talis. That also gets a little bit tricky. That's already a didimamna slash a pasita shayla. Does that make any sense? If you're giving me as a gift a talis and I say I don't want to be acquired, I just want to borrow it, then I can do whatever I want. I can deny, I can refuse to receive a gift. But if we view shul property as already belonging to me, so then what do you mean I'm not going to be zeicha on it? My thought, what a mafkir, that's mafkir, my shul membership, I'm mafkir, my chelik in the shul. I'm not going to vote anymore in shul elections. I don't have any rights as members. I'm mafkir. It's hard to believe that's what's happening. So that's very, very tricky. The post-communal synthesis, try to work out the details. Is that even an option? So again, it's a problem. We have less braver because l'maisa, we cannot justify reciting a bracha on synthesis in the middle of the night in deference to the view of the Rambam. That would be an outright bracha of Abdullah. So we try to do finagle whatever we can to try to get around this problem. One of the ways to get around it is to borrow somebody's talis. If not, somebody's shul talis. If worse comes to worse, what do you do? And then the minute you show this, we do wear a talis for sleeveless. So we'll have to figure out an etza how to try to circumvent this issue. When it comes to saying slichos, so we know that the slichos tend to get longer at certain times of the Yemei HaSlichos. Obviously, Erev Rosh Hashanah is the longest of the longest of the longest of the slichos, but there's another day of the Yemei HaSlichos that one probably would have anticipated the slichos to be exceedingly long, and that should have been Yom Kippur. One would have expected, Matach Erev Rosh Hashanah, we say slichos for an hour and a half, Yom Kippur should stay for 3 hours. So there are some who do that. So there are some communities that are mokwot, some customs. It's a very, very long slichas in Erev Yom Kippur. Those who are familiar with the Broyas, Minhagim, they have a very, very long slichas in Erev Yom Kippur, same as same length, maybe longer even, as Erev Rosh Hashanah. But most of us are familiar with the other custom that there are more quotes from other Rishonim who say that you specifically say short slichas in Erev Yom Kippur. Why are you saying short slichas in Erev Yom Kippur? So that's probably due to the nature of the day of Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur has a certain degree of a Yom Tov feel to it. We don't tackle Erev Yom Kippur. It's the man of having a suda, quasi idea of simcha. So there is a certain degree of celebration in Erev Yom Kippur. The celebration is almost like anticipation of the Yom Kippur is a happy day for two reasons. Number one, it's a time of slicha b'chilul kapar. That in of itself is a great time of simcha, and it's also Yom Shni Torah Yisrael. It's the day we receive lichas shnias. That's also a great celebration, great cause of joy. So a combination of those reasons, so we have a certain degree of celebration. Erev Yom Kippur takes on a certain joyous, festive air to it. That's what some folks can quote a custom, that it would be inappropriate to say very, very long slichas on this day. Slichas are usually associated with days when we're not so joyous. So to say a long snichas erev Yom Kippur would be inappropriate. So where did these two minhagim come from? How come some communities dafka said long snichas erev Yom Kippur and some said short snichas? So many suggest this comes from a machlokes about when exactly the celebration, that joyous aspect, that mood of festivity of erev Yom Kippur, when exactly does that begin? So that's a question. Does that begin in the morning of erev Yom Kippur, or does that already begin the night before? Like Laila V'Chayim and Halacha, most things begin the night before. That's a question the Poskim. When is the mitzvah sachil in erev Yom Kippur begin? When is the great joy and celebration of erev Yom Kippur begin? Let's not forget that the original minhag was to say slichas at night. If you're saying slichas at 2 o'clock in the morning, is it appropriate to say long or short slichas now? So the answer depends what you think about. Is it yizman simchana? If you think that there's a great mitzvah of ma'ivah b'yachilu shtiya on erev Yom Kippur in the middle of the night, then it's probably the wrong thing to be doing to say long slichas. If you think that saying that eating and drinking is not really appropriate until the following morning, so then it would not make a lot of sense. Might as well find the last possibility to say long slichas right before the. Two minhagim that the Rambam quotes about when to say slichas have their root in terms of a real halachic question as to when the status of simcha kicks in erev Yom Kippur. So we see that although the recitation of slichas per se is really a minhag, it doesn't have its roots in the Gemara, the very old minhag Yisrael, to a certain degree universal minhag Yisrael. We say slichas, there are many, many minhagim of slichas, but minhagim of slichas are all reflections of certain halachas as well. They reflect certain zmanei hayoyim, they reflect certain issues relating to recitation of Pesukim without prior to Birchas HaTorah. They're impacted by some of the details of the Chatzitzes. They're impacted by the status of the celebratory status of Erev Yom Kippurim. So although the practice that we have are all really Minhagim, as we find that many, many Minhagi Yisrael are not just on a vacuum. Minhagi Yisrael are rooted in very, very real halachic principles, halachic sources. And we find even this Minhag of Saint Slichas is very, very much related to the world of Halacha as well. Well, hopefully we should give us a Ziyat Mishnaya, be able to fulfill these minhagim with all the dinner properly. And most important part of the slichas is that they should be the bottom of our heart, the b'chol levavchem, they should be an expression of a sincere tefillah, especially at a time of an Eis Tzara. And we whenever you get close to Yom Kippur, it's always the beginning of an Eis Tzara. It's not a din, so how much more so now that we are very, very much in an Eis Tzara. We're in an Eis Tzara to a certain degree. Achinei Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael are for sure in an Eis Tzara. And it really behooves us to heighten our tefillahs, particularly at this time of the year. We should answer all our tefillahs. All our tefillahs should only bring be an Eis Ratzon for us and for all the clouds. Everybody, good night.
Amen. Shkoch. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi Shkoch.
Yeah, okay. Be well. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.